Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith. Speaking in tongues was prevalent at the church's birth. Today, its resurgence causes some to wonder if what we see now is the same thing that happened long ago. Today, a careful look into the Bible for clarity on tongues, what they are and what they're not. From the Moody Church in Chicago, this is Running to Win with Dr. Erwin Lutzer, whose clear teaching helps us make it across the finish line. Pastor Lutzer, should a believer feel shortchanged if he or she has never spoken in tongues?
Well, Dave, the answer to your question is no. Nowhere in the New Testament are we commanded to speak in tongues. I like to emphasize that it is very important, however, for us to always be charitable with those who disagree with us on this subject. At the same time, we have to explain to people the benefits of the Holy Spirit that come to the entire church. We all inherit blessings because of the ministry of the Holy Spirit. In his book, The Pursuit of God, Tozer has a chapter entitled The Blessedness of Having Nothing. He's talking about Abraham, who had to give up his son Isaac. And of course, God graciously gave his son back to him, told Abraham to not kill him. But the point is, that proved that God to Abraham meant everything. We're living at a time of gadgets and news and trends and all of these things. And the question is, our pursuit of God can be buried in the midst of a very busy, confused world. If you'd like to have that pursuit clarified, the book is entitled The Pursuit of God by A.W. Tozer. We'd love to send you a copy. For a gift of any amount, it can be yours. Here's what you do. You go to rtwoffer.com. That's rtwoffer.com, or call us. We'd love to hear from you at 1-888-218-9337. Ask for The Pursuit of God. You'll be blessed in your next steps in the Christian life. 1-888-218-9337. And now let us open our minds and our hearts as we continue our discussion of the blessed ministry of the Holy Spirit and the gifts that do belong to all of God's people in the midst of the New Testament context as we study the Scriptures. Let's take a bit of a detour regarding tongues, because it is the most controversial gift. The gift of tongues, some people say, and I'm only looking at it through a real sliver here, really fast. I mentioned it in previous messages that I believe that it was God's special gift to prove and to indicate that from now on the gospel was going to Gentiles in all the different languages of the world. He was reversing the Tower of Babel, which divided the world because of languages. God says, now I'm bringing them together. And the gospel is going to go worldwide, not just in the beautiful Hebrew language, but the guttural sounds of Gentile languages. But there are friends who in the movement who today tell us that when you speak in tongues, you don't have to speak an actual language as they did in the book of Acts. And furthermore, even more dangerously, you don't have to know what it is you're saying. I think that is very dangerous. Now, there are two passages, two verses that are used to try to teach that some people who speak in tongues have no clue what they're saying, and yet they're speaking by the Spirit. Very dangerous, in my opinion. But the two verses are in chapter 14. You can turn there if you wish. It's just the next page. It says in verse 2, "For one who speaks in a tongue speaks not to men but to God, for no one understands him, but he utters mysteries in the Spirit." Paul is not saying the guy doesn't know what he's saying. What he's saying is that without an interpreter, you are speaking mysteries. Later on, if I had time, I could prove to you that later on in the passage, when he talks about speaking in the Spirit, he's not talking about some unknown language, but he's talking about people who are receiving revelations from God in another language. He's not saying that they don't know what it is that they are saying. It's that there's no interpreter present. So he's speaking mysteries. If I were to stand up here and speak Swahili, for example, I would know what I was saying, but for most of you, it would be a great mystery. But God would show me what it is that I'm saying. Never give your mind to some kind of a spirit, and you don't know what it is that you're saying. The other verse is, of course, in same chapter, verse 13. Therefore, one who speaks in a tongue should pray for the power to interpret. For if I pray in a tongue, my spirit prays, but my mind is unfruitful. What Paul means is that my being understood is unfruitful. What is in my mind is unfruitful. That's what he's talking about here. And I felt I needed to clarify that. Now, as I mentioned earlier, the gift of tongues was exercised in the first century. After that, it kind of died away, and then it reappeared as something quite different in the early 1900s. But that's a longer story. Now, you say, well, what about these miraculous gifts? There's no doubt that in the early church there were some miraculous gifts. I referred to them earlier as sign gifts. Paul says in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 12, that he was able to do the miracles or the signs of an apostle. So it appears as if the apostles had very special gifts and very special abilities. And within the congregations there were. I'm not saying that any of these gifts, like the gift of miracles, could not possibly happen in a church today. I think that we have to be open to that. But today, it seems as if God has decided to give people the Word of God rather than special gifts of prophecy that seem to see the future. All of these things, of course, we could discuss in more detail. The point I want to make today, however, is this, that the Apostle Paul makes it clear that everybody who is in the body of Jesus Christ has some special gift. Some special gifting is given. And of course, we can't say, well, I don't have to help clean up after a luncheon because I don't have the gift of helps. You know. And we can't say, well, you know, I don't have to give because I don't have the gift of giving. These gifts must be understood as the primary hardwiring that God gives us, but all of us exercise different gifts at different times, and so we can't excuse ourselves. The other thing that I do as I look at this passage is to say that it's interesting that Paul doesn't distinguish women from men. It appears to me that women can have all of these gifts. Now, their function in the church is different in terms of their roles. For example, when it comes to the role of the elders, the church leadership, clearly the Bible indicates that these are men that are leading. But there are many different ministries within the restrictions and the guidance of the New Testament that women are able to exercise. So the Apostle Paul here is speaking about the fact that we have gifts. And then he talks about all the diversity. I need to just make a comment before I nail this down for all of us. He says in verse 14, for the body does not consist of one member, but many. If the foot should say, because I'm not a hand, I don't belong to the body, that wouldn't make it any less a part of the body. And if the ear should say, well, because I'm not an eye, I don't belong to the body, what would that make it any less a part of the body? No. If the whole body were an eye, wouldn't that be interesting? Prop the eye up on a couch so that it can watch TV, I guess. If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? If it were only an ear, he says, then you turn off the TV and turn on the radio, I guess. What Paul is saying is that there is diversity of gifts. Some people's gifts may be more public than others. Some people's may be more gifted in one area than another. But a spiritual gift is a divine ability for service. It is a divine ability to serve, and God has given you that ability, whether you found it or not. It is there as a member of the body to function together with a sense of unity that we enjoy. Let us help us just nail this down as we look at a couple of bottom lines as to what this should mean to us individually and where we go from here. First of all, it is clear that everyone has a gift. Now, I've emphasized it, but just look at what it says there in verse 7. To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit. Verse 11, last part of the verse. The Holy Spirit of God gives gifts, apportions to each one individually as he wills. And then if this isn't beautiful enough, notice it says it again in verse 19, I think it is, as the Apostle Paul goes on, he speaks about the fact that it is God who determines where we fit in the body. But as it is, God arranged the members in the body, each of them, as he chooses. Imagine, God chose that you would have the gifting that you have. If I may be permitted a personal word, I was just thinking about this past week. I was a boy born on a farm, born in an old farmhouse about 5 miles from a town of 75 people. To think of the fact that God already then had shaped me in such a way, knowing that I'd come to saving faith in Christ, that he would say, I'm giving him this gift. Now, I believe personally that my gift, my number one gift, is the gift of exhortation. Differs a little bit from the gift of teaching, though, of course, I can teach as well. And when I exhort, I teach. But at any rate, that's my hard wiring. But just like I happen to know what my gift is, you also should know that there are ways to find out what your gift is. We have a class here at the Moody Church called Serving with Purpose. And you can always check the bulletin to see when it begins. And its intention, among other things, is to help people to know their spiritual gift and where they can plug in. Now, I don't believe that God raises up ministries unless he also supplies the gifting to sustain those ministries. As we learned a few weeks ago in our children's ministry, we're really ministering to 3 times the number of children than we did, say, 5 years ago. And constantly the children's ministry, we are looking for people to serve. Well, I believe that they are among us. But there are some of you, perhaps, who have never even investigated or made the effort to know what your role can be in a ministry like this. God doesn't raise up churches and ministries unless he gifts the church to function. And constantly, of course, we need parkers and we need ushers and we need those who become involved in the music ministry and all the way down the line as found week by week in our bulletin. And I'm saying to you today, be willing to do anything, try to do some things. And others, as they affirm you in what you are doing, it is a way in which you can say, this is where I fit in the body. And that's why we have a kiosk in the back where you can go, the connection corner, to help find out where you belong. Isn't it sobering to think? Is it okay if we're just blessed for a moment? The same Holy Spirit that converted the Apostle Paul on the way to Damascus is the same Holy Spirit now who 2,000 years later converts people, saves them, transforms them, and then gifts them in the body. It's our gift from God, and everyone has a gift. Secondly, let me say that if you are dissatisfied with your gift, you're really dissatisfied with God because he's the one who gave it to you. And I'd like to extend this a little bit because there's some teenagers here and others who fit into that category who struggle with the way in which they look, all the competition as to how you look in today's world. And of course, there are things we can do to improve our appearance and so forth. But the raw material was given to you by God. Be content with who you are. Be content with the way in which God created you and formed you in your mother's womb. Please be content with who you are. And when you look into the mirror and wonder where God was when you were put together, remember this: He made you the way He did for a very specific purpose, and you have a role to play in the body. You say, "Well, Pastor Luther, what about those who can't serve, maybe because of disabilities, mental disabilities, physical disabilities?" I believe that they have a role in the body. And the role that they have in the body is that they give the rest of us an opportunity to serve, to learn what it is, to be selfless, and all the lessons that folks like that teach us. They may not have upfront gifts, but that's not Paul's point at all. In fact, he says those gifts that are more necessary, he says sometimes they're hidden away. So together we function as a body, because you are part of that body. And of course, if you must recognize also that giftedness means givingness. Now, I don't know if there's a word like that, but let's just say that there is. Let's make it up. Givingness. Tony Evans, that great, wonderful African-American preacher who says things much better than all the rest of us, he was preaching one time, and he said, "It is not just a bad idea." He said, "It is a sin to say, preach to me, sing to me, keep the church warm for me, visit me when I'm sick, bury me when I'm dead, but I won't sign on for anything, I won't commit anything, I won't do anything, I'll just be here." I can't imagine Jesus saying to one of his people, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant, for thou hast listened to 2,641 messages and almost twice the number of choir anthems. Enter thou into the joy of my Lord." I don't think so. I don't think so. God expects us to be involved. And when you read the bulletin and when you hear about needs, God has already raised up people. If only we'd all listen, we'd all be sensitive, and we'd all say, "Yes, this demands sacrifice, but this is where I fit in the function of the body." And we're here to help you find that out. You know, in many churches, there is a plaque that usually appears in a hallway or in the lobby, and it lists those who died in the war. Sometimes I've seen them, World War I, from the church, the people who died in World War II. There is a story about a mother who was looking at the list of names, and her little boy said, "Mommy, what is that?" And she said, "Well, this is a list of people who died in the service." He said, "The morning service or the evening service?" Folks, we're here to change this community. We're here to make a difference in the city of Chicago. We're here to be able to help the needy and to share the word of God in so many different ways. But we need all of you. We need people to teach. We need people to give. We need people to exhort. We need administrators. We need those with the gift of helps. And together we make the difference, not individually, because we function as the body for which Christ died. And you have a part in it. Now, if you're here today and you're investigating Christianity and you've never trusted Christ as Savior, could I encourage you that if you receive Christ as Savior, as I mentioned at the beginning of this message, you too are translated from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of God's dear Son, and you become a part of the body. And then you, as you begin to learn about the giftedness, discover your gift, which may be related to a natural talent, but it may also be distinct from a natural talent. It is God's ability to be able to help you serve. Together, we can make a huge difference. Let us pray. Father, please help us to realize that this is not about us. This is all about you. And we desire from the depths of our soul, you be glorified. No man, no servant, you, O Lord God, be glorified in this church by a functioning body that cares, that loves, that's involved, that's making a difference for your glory. We love you. Amen. And my dear friend, would you like to help us make a difference for the glory of God? You can become a part of the Running to Win family. You can join us. With your prayers, with your gifts, I have in my hand a note from a truck driver. And by the way, we hear from many truck drivers because they listen to Running to Win. They have the radio on as they drive. This man says, I listen every day, hours and hours. And then he says, what an impact your ministry is having, not just on my life, but across the globe. What a joy. I just drink it in. Well, thank you so much, truck driver. But let me say to all who are listening, we cannot continue this ministry without your help and without your prayers. Would you like to join that family? Here's what you can do. You can go to rtwoffer.com and click the Endurance Partner button. Become a part of the family or call us at 1-888-218-9337.
It's time once again for you to ask Pastor Lutzer a question about the Bible or the Christian life. Keith listens to KVIP in Red Cliff, California. He has this interesting question. I've been asked by my niece and her fiancé to preside at their wedding, which would require that I be ordained and licensed. I don't know much about the process other than what I've read on the internet. They do plan to be married in a church. Before I research it further, I would like your response to the following. Is there any biblical prohibition or support for this? What is your personal opinion on the matter of a layman being ordained to perform a wedding?
Well, Keith, thanks so much for your very practical question, and I understand that you want a good biblical answer. First of all, let me say that in your question, however, you seem to use the phrase ordained and licensed interchangeably. At least here at the Moody Church, we make a distinction between being ordained and being licensed. Lay people can be licensed, but for ordination, we see that as a separate category, and the bar, so to speak, is much higher. Now, here's what I'd like to suggest. I don't know what your laws are like in California, but my suspicion is that they might be like the state of Illinois, where all that you need to do to perform a wedding is to be licensed. You do not have to be ordained. So I would say that if your church is willing to license you, even though you're a layman, that is perfectly fine. They are conferring on you the stamp of approval that you represent them in the wedding process, and therefore they are showing their confidence in you and the worthiness that you have to be able to perform a wedding. So investigate a little further, and of course everything that you do should really be done through your church with their blessing, with their authority. And if you are licensed, in my opinion, you have the right to perform that wedding.
Some wise counsel from Dr. Erwin Lutzer for Keith in California. Thank you, Dr. Lutzer. If you'd like to hear your question answered, go to our website at rtwoffer.com and click on Ask Pastor Lutzer. Or call us at 1-888-218-9337. That's 1-888-218-9337. You can write to us at Running to Win, 1635 North LaSalle Boulevard, Chicago, Illinois, 60614. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. These are the fruit of the Spirit. They stand in stark contrast with the behavior of those who do not know God. Next time on Running to Win, we compare the works of the flesh and the works of the Spirit. Thanks for listening. For Dr. Erwin Lutzer, This is Dave McAllister. Running to Win is sponsored by the Moody Church.